Hi everyone, and welcome to today's HSTLD call. Dialed into the bridge, we have Michael Pelage, who's somewhere in China right now. We've got Pam. DeCicchio, did I get it right?
Yes, indeed.
Pam DeCicchio from VeriSign. We've got Paul Smosher. We've got John McElwain, Dave Piscatello, Greg Rattray, Steve Crocker, and myself. And with that, I'll turn the call over to Michael.
All right, thanks. And put it this way, since I've been traveling the last couple of days, can you tell me who has handed in their assignments? I've not been able to go through my email in detail. Just been doing that on the iPhone. So I know Lynn has sent a summary of the e-trust.
Right.
Has there been anybody else that has provided any text to date?
Yeah, I circulated a copy of the final report last night that included Lynn's information as well as the majority of the sections that were assigned to me. So there is some text in the document now, but we haven't gotten writing from anyone else just yet.
Okay, and as I said, myself, I have writing, and I should be done reviewing that hopefully on my before my plane ride back. Hey, 4 to 48 hours, I should be providing some input as well. I guess what I will admit I've not had a chance to review the document that you have circulated, Craig. So. Is there anyone on the call that has any, shall we say, initial comments that they would like to discuss or bring to the table?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we have a yes. And Steve, I think you're still in Brazil, so as another, shall we say, person on the road, I will let you go first to the queue. So, Steve, what's your initial comments?
Thank you very much, Michael. So I read the beginning of the report as to what the objectives were that reviewed how the working group got started and what the intended benefits were supposed to be. I had sent in comments in the form of view graphs that were similar to in structure to what Dave Piscatello had put together, although my specifics were different. I've tried to raise what I consider to be a key question, which is what's the purpose of this whole thing? What communities is it supposed to serve? And there is a very strong message in my raising those questions, which is I don't think that the parts fit together very well. And when I look at this report, I don't see any response or adjustment to anything that's gone on before. So if I were to receive that report or have to respond to it publicly, I would say this needs to be torn apart and put back together again in its fundamental pieces, and that the bulk of the report on the mechanisms for auditing and so forth are premature and beside the point until we get the objectives correct.
And Steve, I would probably not disagree with you and I haven't looked at the current format, but I do believe we probably need to do a better job of together, that we haven't tied it together and we haven't explained it as probably best that it could. So I'm hearing your concerns, and again, those concerns are probably much in line with the concerns that Mikey has been raising over the last couple of months. That being said, I believe that there are enough pieces of factual work that we have done that can be brought together and perhaps provide that path forward to prevent the report from, as you say, being ripped up and told to start again. So perhaps I'm a little more optimistic, and hopefully within the next, as I said, 24 to 48 hours, I will give you some text that will perhaps give you a little more optimism than that which you're currently depressing. So that was Steve. Then who else was behind Steve?
I heard Pam.
Is that Pam?
I did, but okay. I've got a lot of different comments in different areas, so I don't know if you want me to go ahead and go or if you want to take anybody else first.
You were in the queue. We'll do it sort of old school, domain name style. First come, first serve. You're up. Go.
Okay. First set of comments is just about the organization of the report itself. I have a couple suggestions to maybe switch things around that might make it easier to read and flow a little better. So the first thing I'll start off with is the section on the status report. I was thinking that might be better in the section before 3.0 because I think 3.0 is supposed to provide all the input that you gathered from all the different groups, and the status reports are status reports. So I was wondering if maybe they would fit better in the section before 3.0. So that was one question.
Okay.
The other thing that I was, this may end up and be in your section 3.1. I'm not sure what's going to go in section 3.1, but I thought what we need is some kind of an overview or rationale on the methods of research that we chose. So for example, to say, okay, well, we chose to do an RFI to these organizations for this reason, and we chose to have a public meeting with this organization for this reason in order to cover gathering facts from different, you know, groups. You know, that would be really nice way at the top of all this, because I found myself, there's a lot of good detail, which you probably haven't seen, Mike, that I think Craig put in there. And you get lost in the details, at least I did. So it would be really great to kind of start that section 3.0 with these are the groups we solicited to gather our research, and this is our rationale for picking them.
And Pam, if I could just interject, one of the things, and again, I apologize for not getting this text sooner to Craig, but that is some of the preamble. Or what I would call umbrella language. And what I've done here is I've done this in the context of the affirmation of commitments that talks about fact-based decision-making, accounting for different things. So for your benefit, early on in this advisory group, I had pointed to the affirmation of commitments as kind of being the roadmap or the Bible, whatever, if you will, the document that will guide how we go forward. So I have worked on some of that text, and that is, I would say in hindsight, the reason we did what we did was because the affirmation told us this is what we need to do. So that is why we've done the fact-based decision. So this is something I will be providing to Craig, and I think in this, the preamble or the lead into section 3.0.
Excellent, excellent. And then I was going to suggest at the very end of section 3 that we put in some sort of conclusion. Again, there's a lot of data in there. And if we put in some conclusion that we, just some basic conclusions from the data itself with no analysis or anything, with it, just a bit, some basic conclusions.
Will you take that on, Pam?
Oh, sure. And then, kind of to meet Steve's comments and Mikey's comments, I think what we ought to do is put in a section somewhere, and maybe it's more towards the end, after 3.1, which is, where did our original goals miss the mark? Because you don't necessarily want, I can see that you don't want to change the goals you guys set at the beginning of 2010. That was your goal for 2010. But I think if you put in another section to say, okay, but this was the problem with that goal. We need to better define our stakeholders. We need to do a needs assessment. Whatever it is that you guys have discovered along this path that I've heard both Mikey and Steve and Dave talking about, have a section to say, this is where we missed the mark, before we go into options and recommendations. I mean, what do you guys think of that idea?
I would say I'm I'm open to it. I think that I, in the preamble text that that both Lynn and I were assigned to, I talk to different challenges and perspectives, and basically I talk about it as being a spectrum, and on one end of the spectrum, we had the what I would call the original financial sector dealt with the a certification or a verification program with the seal. That was one end of the spectrum. And then the other end of the spectrum was, well, we've really never defined it properly, and to steal Steve's comments, let's rip it up and start all over again. That would be the other end of the spectrum. So what I tried to do in the initial, in what I call the executive summary, I talked about this internal, some of the internal dynamics and how we tried to do that. So I think with what you're saying here, right, about what we may do better even before we get to the next steps, I think I have provided perhaps a foundation for the very points that you're talking about and making sure that they are included in the report, because, I, as I said, I think the concerns of Steve and Mike are important and need to be properly reflected in this document.
You got it. So that sounds like that might hit that. And then my next ones were on Section 3.1. So that was where we were going to put the table from the Deloitte report. And there were
talking about perhaps modifying it a little, but yes, that was what we were that was our original discussion, yes.
Right. So one of the questions I had, since I'm assigned with the group to kind of tackle that, is do we want to, what do we want to add to that? Do we want to just pull things out of it that we're going to suggest we do going forward, or, again, things that we agree with as a group? So, you know, for example, you know, one of the comments they make is that the oversight body would be useful to monitor the success of the program and the needs of the stakeholders, and we agree, but we need to do a stakeholder needs assessment. I mean, what are we wanting to add to that section? I wasn't real clear.
Here's what I'm going to do is this is something where if your subgroup could perhaps have a call, and I think you have Lynn and who is it, John? I think it's Lynn and John are that subgroup, correct?
It's actually John and Jonathan.
Oh, Jonathan? Okay. I think with both John and Jonathan, if you could perhaps arrange a call with them, you have a pretty good diverse group there of, I think, viewpoints and perspectives. We don't have a bunch of people that says yes to everything. I think there's a little bit of different perspectives. So the three of you can perhaps come together with what you think should appear in that chart in taking sort of a first stab at it. What I thought, and I think Lynn and others thought, was particularly was the structure of that table and in how it was able to convey information in an informative way by giving sort of comparables of other models. With regard to the exact text that was used, we, the group, have, I would say, final authority. I'm just the look and feel of Table 3.1. I do not view our hands being tied to what Deloitte had originally put in their 3.1 table.
Okay.
Pam, this is John McElwain. I sent out an email to you and Jonathan trying to get everyone together. Did you get that email?
I don't think I did. When did you send it?
Monday.
Yeah, I don't know, but I can check my junk mail folder.
Or just shoot an email to me and Jonathan, and we can find a time.
Okay, that sounds great.
I have the same question as you, so it'll be great to huddle up.
And John, I'm on the call too. Yeah, I saw your email, and I have just been absolutely slammed. But we should come back through, circle around, and get this done. So maybe we can follow up and pick a time off list.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Pam. So is there anyone else? I'm sorry, Craig, did you have something you wanted to say?
I kind of wanted to go over those 5 points real quickly just to make sure I got them right from Pam. that you said the status reports is probably better off in a section before 3.0 was the first item, that the overview and method of rationale, why we did what we did and with whom we worked, needs to be added. And Michael said that what he is preparing probably addresses a lot of those, a lot of that comment. Then your point three was at the end of section three, we should have some sort of conclusion, which I asked you if you would take on writing, and you said you would. So that would be a new section 3.9, the way it fits into the current format. And then you talked about adding adding a section, perhaps after 3.1, where did the goals miss the mark? And there's a little bit of discussion about that. And then the last point, number five, was about the table. And it sounds like you, John, and Jonathan are going to get together at some point to collectively come up with a first draft for that.
Indeed, you got it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone, so going back, is there anyone else that would like to sort of get in the queue to provide some initial feedback on the documents that Craig has circulated to the group?
And just so folks know, I guess Mikey O'Connor is now on the line, right, Mikey?
Yeah, it's Mikey O. Confused. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I just wanted to let folks know you're on the phone.
Okay. If there's no one else that has some initial comments, one of the things I would like to just bring up for discussion, Paul and Greg, I read bits of comments that I believe were submitted on the 15th with regard to the new GTLDs and proposed changes. The fact that in the past has been somewhat successful in their advocacy in getting changes to the applicant guidebook in connection with the HSTLD. Could you perhaps just share some insight on your comments and how you view this as either converging, diverging, in connection with our work? I think that would be helpful for me. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but could you perhaps give a little background and context?
Well, it's Greg. I'll take the lead here if that seems to make sense to you.
Works, Greg.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, Michael, I think our perspective remains the same as you and I discussed, and I think I discussed with Steve Crocker as well in Cartagena, which is, you know, related to BITS's specific concerns on the, you know, security standards that will be applied to applicants for new GTLDs that have financial services as their primary purpose. You know, we believe our role in the financial services industry requires we work with ICANN, that those standards be clearly identified, that we have high assurance that those standards will be applied to applicants as they go through the process. That is focused, you know, on the financial services sector and our work and our comments on the 15th as well as previous comments, you know, running in DAG 4 and DAG 5 are all to that end. We also remain supportive of the broader effort here in the HSTLD program, both in, you know, providing perspective on what are the right standards to provide for a high confidence zone, you know, our active participation in this working group, a belief that it's not just financial services where there are potential, you know, new GTLDs that ought to provide for higher layers of confidence and trust related to, you know, security and matters, but also understanding, the signaling we've got from the board about whether ICANN's going to even take on this effort, believing that they should, and they should be a sponsor of, you know, whatever program is, you know, recommended out of this working group, but, you know, understanding that that may not happen, that some of the recommendations may be for voluntary, you know, approaches to, you know, implementing this program. Therefore, we don't see the HSTLD you know, working group and its recommendations and ICANN's, you know, what might happen next within how ICANN implements it as taking care of the specific concerns we have for financial services.
Yeah, thank you.
That hit it?
That was very helpful, and it actually provides, I think, a good segue into the next where I'd like to take this discussion. So a bit before I dovetail into this, I go back and make sure that I've cleared the queue on anybody that has any talking points regarding the current draft of the report. Okay, there's no one. So now let me perhaps dovetail this into the next segment. And what I'd like to do here is there are two points I think that build on what you just talked about, Greg. And it involves some of the initial discussions I had with Pam when her and I were talking to get her up to speed. And it also brings into discussion some of the contribution that Dave Piscitello had talked about in his paper that he had submitted to the group. So here's my current thinking, and again, I just put this out there for consideration and dialogue for the group. One of the points that I think Dave rather articulately made in his document was the monolithic nature of the control elements, which now level 300. I think what Dave pointed out to was perhaps compartmentalizing or bucketizing, for lack of a better term, certain controls. And what this would allow, you know, some sort of ISO controls that we might be able to neatly dovetail into existing certifications that registration authorities are already paying for, thus not having to pay more money for the same service. So I think that's very helpful. Now, in my discussion with Pam, one of the things we were talking about was how this idea of trust might apply not just to financial services, but also to perhaps other sectors. Greg and Paul, both you and I have in the past talked about how the health services sector may in fact have some concerns or issues HIPAA-related with regard to U.S. Privacy and trust factors that they may want to look at. So in talking about this, can we discuss, or I'd like to put out there for sort of a dialogue, is if we were to reevaluate the controls with this bucketized approach, where, you know, perhaps the financial services sector would have could help provide in framing out that bucket. And then there's other options. What I'd also like to bring the group's attention to is the RIAA, which is the recording industry. They actually had submitted comments talking about best standards to mitigate potential copyright regarding a .music TLD. So right holders, I think, are beginning to raise the same concerns that the financial industry. Consumers are going to have a certain expectation expectancy of trust. Perhaps what we can do is, instead of creating the monolithic list that we talked about, or that Dave accurately, I think, pointed out in his comments, perhaps we could begin to try to bucketize some of these things so that if we do go down the path of a verification or a report card, there's a more structure to this, and that structure provides for scalability going forward. So, you know, as Dave had mentioned in his submission, perhaps the work that we do here at some future point in time, we may have the ISO body come back and say, oh, wow, look at some standards, look at this control bucket that's being developed here. This is something that we may now want to sort of codify or roll into our existing program. So I just want to put that out there as a point of what I would say, potential consensus building by taking some of the points that I have seen in Dave's comments, some of the discussions I have had with Pam and some of the other registry operators, as well as the comments submitted by BITS, by the RIAA. So it's out there on the table. As usual, please feel free to criticize, tear up, or do whatever. So I put that out there, and I would like to now start a queue as to is this a possible good idea or not such a good idea. Anybody?
Michael, John McElwain. I just will hop in and say I think it's a great idea. I've always had a problem trying to follow all the different controls and the sort of overlapping nature of them. And I think it will just help simplify the particularly from a security and technical standpoint, I think it will really help simplify our analysis and the public's ability to look at what controls are out there.
Okay, and that's good because in kind of my hybrid report card approach, I was trying to begin to work in some of those elements to incorporate this. So I guess right for now I'll leave them in. I'd like to hear from other people in the group to see whether this is something worth, continuing. So anyone else besides John?
Mike, this is Paul. I guess I'd have a couple of fundamental questions.
Mm-hmm.
One is that having done all this additional work, would we envision that we would somehow change the concept of voluntary to something else? And would we envision that having done all this work, we would somehow attain ICANN support? To Greg's comments earlier, I think one of our motivations for moving forward with the comments we made in the ICANN letter, those were two fundamental things, the voluntary nature and how it impacts the trust that one needs in a financial domain, as well as the current lack of ICANN support. I mean, I think it would be great to do the clarification. I think it would be great if we could somehow eventually leverage this into, some sort of ISO. I think those things ultimately would help security and stability within the internet environment generally. But I guess I'm trying to understand if we move forward in that direction beyond a cleaner definition, are we hoping to accomplish any other goals?
Okay, so let me give you my current thinking on this. In the text of the preamble, I say, in retrospect, instead of calling this the high security zone, it may have perhaps been better named the high security and trust zone working group, right? Because trust is something that has appeared in both our problem and mission statement or goal statement from the very beginning. So what I would like to see happen, I would like us, this group, to reach consensus, because if we reach consensus, this then does not become ICANN board, please consider this. I think it then becomes a much stronger statement of something that perhaps is consensus within the group, and, we really respectfully consider you to take this advice and move forward with it. So I guess my objective here is to try to reach consensus, because if we reach consensus, I think that provides us a much more solid background to advocate for the implementation of whatever the final recommendations are. Notwithstanding that goal of achieving consensus, we do have right now a current version of the applicant guidebook that is referring to some of the work that we're doing. I do not know whether that same text will be there in version 6 after the ICANN board GAC consultation later next month, or whether it will be removed. I am operating right now that it is there now, and we need to provide, I think, some type of document that could help bring a responsible closure to the new GTLD process. And when you look at comments that are coming in from other groups, again, the right holders, the RIAA, to me, if we do this right, we provide a solution that, as Dave talked about, is not is something that can be compartmentalized and can scale and provide a solution. So to me, I see a certain elegance that works both within this group as well as helping the ICANN staff and ICANN board in actually moving forward this project. I hope that is my goal, right? Whether we as a group are able to reach consensus and move forward is something that we will probably determine in the next 3 to 4 weeks. So does that, have I think, addressed your I mean, are we on the same page, hopefully? Greg or Paul?
This is Paul. I think I need to think about it a bit. I mean, I understand the goal now of where you're trying to go, but I'm going to reserve further comment for the moment.
Not a problem. And again, the purpose of having this dialogue here was it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got up for this call, so I want to try to get as much out of it as possible. And I just wanted to use this for an exchange of ideas to sort of run some ideas up the flagpole, regarding how we might be able to seek some middle ground between some of the divergent views that have been expressed historically and which continue to be expressed, even as we've heard here today on this call. So,
well, and Mike, this is Jonathan. I'd like to contribute a divergent view. Can everyone hear me okay?
We can hear you, Jonathan.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I completely agree with Paul about a financial type TLD or, certain categories of TLDs having the voluntary aspect removed from it. And Michael, I agree with you that the group's name may have some need to expand. You know, I like that you include the word trust, for example, into it, and I think that's going to be a fundamental aspect of it, because that's ultimately what we want to have be an outcome, is that the consumer, the user, gets better trust out of the TLD they're interacting with. I'd comment that we're talking about sort of a platinum standard in security for some of the TLDs. And I've been exposed to a lot of different potential applicants and communities where some of the standards that we're discussing would be extremely cost prohibitive without a lot of benefit or gain as far as their ability to apply. And if it were a mandatory program, it would place the ability to apply beyond their financial wherewithal, especially with all of the delays and, many other aspects of the TLD program that have come into focus. So if we were to rename the group, I would change the word high to higher, a higher trust and security TLD. And I would say that because we can't use this high security process to elevate all of the standards above the reach of people who don't need to have all of the gold-plated security in place, like a financial institution would, or medical records, or other types of those audiences. That's my only point on saying that I still really think that the voluntary aspect of this, at least in the absence of having categories that would say that category really requires higher security, we really have to think of this and not create a barrier to entry for the communities that are, going to seek TLDs. That's my only divergent thought here.
And put it this way, Jonathan, thank you. And I would submit that I don't think that's divergent at all. I actually think that maps to existing points. Specifically, a point that I share with Steve and Mikey is that if all we are creating is a process that allows a bunch of accountancy firms to go give a six-digit bill to registries to have some cert or some certificate, we probably have missed our goal there, right? So what we're looking at is how does this program actually increase trust and have that trust and security have some benefit to end users that actually use the DNS. So as I said, I am agreeing with you as well as I think with Steve as well as Mikey that we really want to make sure that recommend is not something that is cost prohibitive and provides a nominal return on investment. And having said that, this is why I have tried to incorporate the work of Dave that talks about compartmentalizing the previous monolithic list, right? Because if we are able to sit there and point out to certain points such as ISO list and stuff like that, I think that will be really helpful in keeping the cost of this program down and focusing on some key benefits. So again, what I heard from you, Jonathan, was not divergent. I think it actually maps upon the concerns that have been expressed by a number of participants within the group. So that would sort of be my initial take on that. So again, thank you for your comments. Pam, I think you have not, I'm just looking at the list here. I haven't heard anything from you. Would you like to take a couple of minutes and perhaps contribute to of ideas, particularly in light of some of the talks that you and I have had previously, as well as VeriSign, who I think in, I want to be careful here, one of the RFI respondents had talked about how they had done some work for, and so again, many of the hats that VeriSign wears in the security and the trust area, you have a lot of experience with these reports. How might this bucketization or compartmentalization of criteria help leverage existing audits that you have already been undertaking? Could you provide any feedback there?
Absolutely. I agree. I really do like the approach, and I think Dave did such a lovely job of illustrating it. So if you take a look at what he put in as his example report card, it actually is a very nice leveling almost approach. It's like, okay, you have your basic ICANN contractual obligations check. The next one is basic ISO, 27,000 controls check. Perhaps this group identifies some DNS controls check. And then for the financial groups or the health group, whatever, if it's PCI compliance, if it's some other additional compliance, you can have those additional sections of control. And I don't think we have, I think it still should be voluntary, and actually it's an advantage in terms of being a competitive differentiator. Because if you've got two different groups coming in to compete for a particular financial TLD, and one group says, well, we do PCI compliance, and another group says, well, we don't, then, that is a very strong competitive differentiator for the one group. So I don't know that I would still really strongly advocate the voluntary portion of this, but I really like the idea and the way that Dave laid it out, because it was not just bucketized, but I like it kind of the progression of kind of the baseline sets of compliance and then the more advanced ones. And then it really minimizes the amount of work that this group needs to do, because there's already, and minimizes the amount of audits that other registries or registrars need to do, because they can just take what they currently do for ISO, what they currently do for PCI or whatever, and present that. Obviously, it still has to be presented and verified, but present that as, yes, we have complied with this, and that makes us a competitive a competitive offer. Does that make sense?
I think it does.
what I'd like to do now is just, again, looking down the list, Steve, are you still on our call, or has Steve had to drop off? Okay, Steve may have dropped off. Do we still have Dave Piscatello on the call? Is Dave on today?
Here.
So Dave, I appreciate the work that you have done. Yours was one of the documents, yours, both yours and Steve, as well as the e-trust summary with some of my in-flight reading on my way to China. And I appreciate how you tried to incorporate your visualization into the report card concept that I originally put forward. Is this something, based upon the discussion that we're talking here, and how there might be some other industries, healthcare or something, or healthcare, or perhaps even right holders or something like that? Is this something that you think is consistent with what you've been talking about, or what I've discussed here? Is it divergent? I would really appreciate your insight on that and what you proposed and what we've discussed here so far today.
Well, so I think there are two distinct issues. So let me respond to your direct question first. If we were to take the program as it was formulated today and try to actually make it satisfy and some of Steve's concerns and Mikey's concerns and Eric's concerns, then I think that you could use this compartmentalized model that I came up with and say, there are industry-specific criteria that you could use to build on the baseline plus plus other criteria, and come up with a model that would be suitable for healthcare or suitable for financials or suitable for whatever other vertical happens to have very specific criteria on which they would base trust. And I'm sort of having a side conversation here on Jabber with Steve about how we've kind of conflated trust and security, and our whole conversation today just sort of reinforces my frustration at having changed the name of this program a year and a half ago or whatever it was, because I think the program really was originally intended to be a trust and confidence program, not one that sat there and tried to come up with a very, very crisp set of audit and controls that you would apply for every single TLD. The end game in my mind was to make the consumer feel okay when he was going to a site, to the extent that's possible, make the registrant feel like the registration provider and the registry were going to do their vertical a proper service and be beneficial towards them and be honest and reliable, as Steve says. So I think you could get to where we want to be, but I think that the model is relatively flexible.
Okay, and as I said, I think again the concept, I intended that to be flexible, and what I think really helped was your compartmentalization, which
so
I think
point I wanted to make, Michael.
Lost.
Yeah, the one more point I wanted to make is that I think that ultimately, while there would be this sort of compartmentalization where you'd have some controls that, like ICANN contractual controls, and some controls that might be, international auditing criteria, there probably are going to be other controls that each vertical is going to have to define and decide for itself. And maybe they are standards eventually, but I don't see how ICANN could sort of codify or be able to produce controls that would be suitable for the financial industry and then go off and do the same thing for healthcare or go off and do the same thing for government. Those are sort of the building blocks that each of the vertical industries has to actually come up with.
Okay, Steve, please go.
Yeah, I apologize. I was on mute before when you were calling on me. But I have, in fact, been on the call the whole time. So I'm in a slightly different place from Dave, although in agreement mostly with what he's saying. My concern is that this program is too strong for the general and too weak for the specialized needs. And it's kind of like a fly ball that is not being caught by either the center fielder or the right fielder, if you don't mind baseball analogy, and it's just falling in the middle there. We have, and I think I don't remember who spoke, maybe Pam, talking about the cost of this program and it being too much for the general applicant. I think it's important to separate out what are you trying to accomplish, and that speaks very much to the trust issue. Who are you trying to convince, and what level of trust are they going to have? And a big audit of part of the system but not another part of it is not going to do it. And you're going to spend too much money on one part, not enough on another, and you're going to be nowhere. So that's my concern. And, I'm a little more pessimistic in that it's fine to document the work and the discussions and so forth. But at the end of the day, simply saying this is a consensus document and therefore it's important and has to be listened to isn't going to solve what I will call the Emperor's New Clothes problem, that it's fundamentally broken.
And put it this way, Steve, again, having this insight and contribution, we appreciate it. Again, having SAC's participation or your own participation earlier could have. I think helped a year ago. We're at where we're at now, which is important. We're having your input and advice, and it will be reflected in the final document. But to build on your analogy, yes, Steve.
Yeah, and to say what I had tried to say earlier, I agree with you completely, Michael, and I do apologize very, very deeply. I feel a considerable amount of embarrassment about that, but. That said, I think it doesn't change the facts of the matter.
And as I said, I respect that. And baseball analogy, instead of having this fall in between the infielder and the shortstop, I prefer to just hit it out of the ballpark, and then we don't have to worry about it falling in between the infielders. I think, getting back to your point of what we're trying to achieve here between the specifics and the general, and where we look at, Dave, to me, I think what's important is I respect the work that BITS has done in regard to the financial services sector, right? But one of the things that I think is very important for the ICANN model is that the work BITS do in creating that list somehow takes place within, somehow under the ICANN umbrella, because if all ICANN is going to do is just take a set of standards from an outside organization and plug it in without any context or discussion, that to me, in my personal view, is not a healthy approach towards enhancing the bottom-up.
Greg, yeah. I don't understand. I'm not sure I understand the thought there.
Okay, so let me try to explain.
BITS never proposed to do work that ICANN would apply broadly to the community without going through the ICANN process. That's why we're participant to this working group.
And put it this way, what I've done is I've just applauded BITS within the working group. The reason I was making my comment was Dave's comment about some things, we may want to refer to other outside organizations. So let me give you an example of the way the ICANN process, in my opinion, works. The financial services industry views this as wanting to come up with a set of perhaps standards focused. You have been participating in this group, and I think your work to date has been constructive. Now, that is good, and I'm just trying to, again, refer to your public comment that you submitted on the 15th about the needs for perhaps some more criteria. Having that take place, within the ICANN cross-constituency multidisciplinary approach, I think, is very good. What would scare me is we have talked about perhaps how there might be another compartmentalized or bucket list control elements regarded to the healthcare industry. Now, if all of a sudden the World Health Organization came and said to ICANN, here's a list of controls, put it in the program or incorporate it into the applicant guidebook, that to me would be problematic because
we've never suggested that any controls go in the applicant guidebook, Michael.
And what happens, we're talking about controls within this group here because, again, I'm responding to some of the questions from Dave that was talking about outside ICANN's expertise. So to me, if an industry-specific group is trying to propose trust guidelines that somehow relate to the DNS or other business practices that may impact the operation of registries within that sector, the development needs to happen within ICANN. So again,
bullshit.
Not true.
That's not what ICANN said.
Okay. Let's start with bullshit. Greg, you and I think that was.
I didn't say bullshit.
No, that was Steve.
That was me. That was just the first part in order to get your attention.
Okay, so let's start with Steve. Go ahead. You have my attention at bullshit. Please continue.
Thank you. So I apologize for the language, but I think the first thing is to have a sensible conversation about what needs to happen, and it is not constrained or oriented necessarily to the only way to implement things is to get them into the applicant guidebook or to have ICANN administer or enforce things. Start back with what the goal is on behalf of the community that's being served, and then later ask the question, what portion of that properly belongs within an ICANN context and which portions belong somewhere else. And I would recommend strongly coming at that from a very neutral and unbiased position. Otherwise, we're stuck with the classic situation of everything. You have a hammer, so you insist that everything is a nail. If the only way that you know how to do something is to put something into the applicant guidebook, then you have a very limited set of tools to work with. And it completely distorts the discussion.
Okay, and Steve, to follow up on that, this is part of my frustration and one of the reasons that I filed the reconsideration request. From the very beginning, this group talked about decoupling this program from the applicant guidebook. Somehow, staff decided to insert it into the applicant guidebook and, in my opinion, really never did a good job explaining how it got there, right? So the frustration that you have is the frustration that a number of the people have, okay? And one of the reasons that we're trying to document stuff and be accountable to how things got where they got, okay? So, and again, in agreement with you, our goal here, and again, we originally wanted this process, most of the participants wanted to decouple the work we were doing so that we did not have the new GTLD tail wagging this dog in the work we wanted to do. So I just want to make sure you and I are on agreement there. Okay.
I'm very pleased to hear that. So why don't you just put it at the beginning of this report that it was somehow conflated with the new GTLD guidebook, and that the substance of this report really should be decoupled from it and taken as a fresh look at the entire problem.
Greg,
you're up next. And
yeah,
what happens
right.
is...
I have one comment on this thread, though, independent of what I was going to say, which is, Steve and Michael, if I understand the decoupling argument. I've spent numerous hours of my life discussing this, both as ICANN staff and with Michael. If that is the case, which I agree is to be true, then I would ask, Steve, that none of the briefings that relate to the mitigation of malicious conduct measures that ICANN's taking related to the new GTLD program reference this effort, because it's listed up there as it's probably the most prominent effort to mitigate malicious conduct that was considered in the launch of the new GTLD program. And if they're decoupled, that reference should be removed from all the slides related to mitigating malicious conduct.
Because
you can't have it both ways.
Okay, so wait, Steve, I'm going to allow you to respond. And I just want to take chair.
I was just going to say to Greg, go ahead and make that so. I won't stand in your way.
No, I'm saying that's really the staff, you know, in the sense that this was initiated as part of four overarching issues that ICANN planned to address with new GTLDs. And this was one of the things that was to provide confidence to the community that for the appropriate zones, there would be a set of measures put in place to be worked on by this working group. But if the two things are not related, if this is not related to providing confidence in the launch of the new GTLD program, it shouldn't be portrayed as such in addressing the malicious conduct issues.
And so to follow on to that, Steve, you were talking about why not put this at the front of the report. The reason I would not feel confident putting that in the front of the report, if our goal is a consensus document, is the concerns that BITS has been raising throughout. So my goal as chair has not to be to steer to any one specific resolution, but to make sure that everyone's voice was heard throughout this process. So that is what I have tried to do as chair. Hopefully the group agrees with me being able to walk that line. So here's what I'd like to do. It's 1:30, it's 1:30 East Coast time. What I'd like to do is just not to squelch this rather constructive and interesting exchange, but to just talk real briefly on next steps. And we do have a February, I think, 19th or 20th deadline for our work to meet the delivery. So here's my proposal. What I would like to do is I would really encourage myself, being on this list, to get our proposed sections of text in so that we hopefully could wrap up a lot of the preliminary work to the draft report. What I would like to do is use the first half of next week's call to perhaps wrap up that text. And then I would like to go into the section, the recommendations and next step section, which I think is going to be where a lot of attention needs to be focused. And hopefully we can elaborate upon the discussions that the constructive exchange we've had here today among the members of the group and going forward. So that's what I would that's where we're at now. And again, assuming we're going to be wrapping up the call, typical in my style, I'd like to start by going through everyone who has been on the call and give them a final few words with regard to what happened. Mikey, you were late joining and you have been incredibly quiet. Would you like to say anything on the record for today as we wrap up?
Uncharacteristically quiet, I have to admit. I was sort of waiting for this where are we at and where are we going part of the discussion. It seems to me that we've got a tough choice, especially trying to hit a February 20th deadline, of either hitting that deadline, and in that case, I think simply documenting what we did, or essentially saying there's no way we can hit that deadline, and stepping back and doing sort of the fundamental rethink that I think Steve described, and certainly I would support. I'm a little concerned that we're going to try and cram both of those ideas into the same basket and wind up with a report that's pretty goofy. So my caution, mostly aimed at you, Michael, as chair, is you may want to try and make clear to us as a working group whether we're just documenting what we did by the 20th or whether we're actually going to try and rethink the fundamental questions that, you know, I've certainly been raising all along. There's my two cents.
So my response to that would be, in all the snapshots, you may recall with the second snapshot, you had some concerns. We as a group have never put out a document to date where there was not consensus among the members. So, my feeling is we're going to keep to that aggressive timeline. But if we get to the timeline and we have a report that the group does not feel is representative or is is not where we need it to be, then we will miss the deadline, right? But before I sit there and start extending and recalculating, both Craig and I have made, I don't want to say promises, but we have agreed to try to strive towards that goal. This is a representation that we've made to Kurt and others in the new GTLD process. As to what we would try to do and have this deliverable. So I'm going to stick to that date, but if we get to a date and the report is not where we need it to be, then it won't be finalized and it won't be issued because that's just we're not going to compromise on the standards that we've been following for the last year. So after Mikey, I have Pam. You're next in the queue for final wrap-up thoughts.
Okay, so me being the eternal optimist, hopefully we can accomplish both means. One of the things you guys were talking about when I first came on is one of the recommendations could be to reestablish the group as a trust working group and continue on the work to define from a trust viewpoint what our recommendations would be. So I don't think it's necessarily you can't do both. You could say this is what we've done to date, and our recommendation is that we reformat the group and redo the objectives and refocus the group. And then you don't end up in the position of trying to do all the work of coming up with a recommendation in just a few weeks.
Okay. Thank you. And I agree. I'm probably in the eternal optimism camp as well. So next, I have Paul.
I really don't have any further comments at this point.
Okay. Greg, do you have any further comments at this point?
Yeah, I'm not going to. The main comment I had asked for, Michael, is really on these calls are related to this working groups. Vitt's efforts related to working with ICANN and making comments on the DAG related to standards for financial services is completely separate from this effort. I don't want to continue mixing the two. You know, we will be active participants in this working group. We remain enthused about the potential for it to add to the general, security of the, domain name system moving forward. Understand there's a variety of perspectives about where it applies and how to apply it, but it doesn't relate to what we think is necessary to deal with new GTLDs for financial services. And I'd ask that we not mix the two going forward. That's my main comment.
And while I respect that, Greg, I perhaps have an opinion on that. The fact is, when your employer advocates changes and those changes appear in the guidebook and those changes in the guidebook were correspond or impact work that we're doing, I'm sorry, but they're connected, and,
I just don't see how they correspond or impact this work at all, but that we have a difference of perspective there.
Exactly. And put it this way, Greg, what's very comical is
Again, I think we share a lot of common viewpoints, but we've had differences of opinion when you were on ICANN staff, and we continue to have some differences of opinion in connection with your new role. Again, it's not my job as chair is not to take a position. It's to make sure that the views of this group are articulated. And what I try to do is to make sure that when we are engaging in fact-based recommendations, that all of the facts are on the table, that someone cannot come back and say, you were not aware of this. So that is kind of what I view as my obligation to the group.
Right. Michael, and I'm only saying this in order to make this group, help move this group forward. We will provide you full transparency, you know, into how, you know, well, certainly our comments to the ICANN, to ICANN about the DAG are transparent, and as we initiate a standard-setting effort for financial services, we will make everybody aware of how that's proceeding. So, you know, again, it's more a suggestion to you that this group would be more effective if we didn't conflate the two efforts.
I appreciate your view on that. John McElwain.
No, I have nothing more to add. Thanks.
Okay, we have Greg, Steve, or Dave. Any final comments?
Not for me.
Nor
all right. Excellent. Again, we have our work assignments for next week, and again, hopefully, we'll be able to get through the text and really try to spend a portion of next week's call on next steps and recommendations. All right? Thank you, everyone. And
Mike, Jotham, yes. Hi.
Oh, Jotham, I apologize.
No, that's
my
okay.
My apologies.
I only had a quick comment was this was the most entertainment I've gotten out of one of these calls in a very long time. I appreciate that. And I got my comments out earlier. That's it.
And put it this way, I'm sure the entertainment value will increase exponentially over the next 4 to 6 weeks. So same bat channel, same bat time. All right?
Thank you.
Thanks, have a good one, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, Mike.
Craig.
Left.